Alrighty, praise God. One thing, but don't forget to hope you're a fan of your prayer sheets every day. And the goal was to try to pray every day this month. We focus on these things, expecting God to do something. So don't forget your prayer guides. If you accidentally lost it, need another one, we can print you one before you leave. Please take these to heart. Pray one for another. As the request came from your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and pray expecting God to do what he's capable of. Mark chapter 5, won't we stand just for a moment? Since some didn't have super coffee, give them a stretch, man, if I can stay awake. Was that Ethiopian coffee? That's all kind of stuff. That stuff that puts hair on my chest, man. I'm part Indian, you know, Indians don't have much hair. So, but Mark chapter 5, and I'm going to teach them a simple, well, I say probably a familiar passage. Which if you read your Bible, every passage is somewhat familiar. But it's something we're going to call tonight, Endless Possibilities with God. Endless Possibilities with God. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 24, you'll notice that the Word of God says this. Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Father, tonight we thank you for the word of God. Take these few short minutes and this simple story, and allow us to enlarge our vision of what is possible with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I thank you for standing. One of the things that's been a burden in my heart the longer I serve the Lord is just that so many, it almost really seems like with the way that God is in the lives of people that we really don't need God. And the only things that people trust God for is something they can explain or something they can see. And God has been so limited to where there's no excitement. There's more excitement about things like the Olympics and sporting events than there is just about the person of God and things in general. And it's a burden in my heart. And looking at this verse, this passage here, you can see some simple things. Really, the last point is one we're going to focus on the longest. But anyway, verse 1, pardon, verse 24, first thing we'll notice in the passage, as you think about, there's so many times in the Bible that God gives us a door of endless possibilities. You've heard me say so many services how the word all means so many is really a powerful word in the Bible. All things are possible to him that believeth. And in verse 24, it says, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Now, I wrote down number one, historical failure does not hinder the impossible with God. Historical failure does not hinder the impossible with God, because the Bible made note of the fact that she had for 12 years. She'd been wanting to be healed, and for 12 years nothing was working. 12 years nothing happened. And many times we have situations in our life, and historically, and even may look like, well, we've tried. You may be here and take something simple. Like you may be here tonight and you may not feel like a spirit-filled Christian, man, but you'd like to be. And you've attempted to be a spirit-filled Christian before. And you may come to the place and say, well, Satan may kind of whisper in your ear, say, man, I'm just never going to be able to do that. I can just never be that. You may desire to be a Christian witness. And you may want to be bold and to speak out openly and to tell people about Jesus Christ on a regular basis. And there's been times that you've seen people and you know that the Holy Ghost of God says speak to that person, but you didn't. And you wanted to, and you've gone through time and time again, and you may say, well, I guess maybe I'll just never be that witness. Well, don't let that limit you, because we see through the scripture here, as we read the story already, we know that the woman got healed. So historical failure does not hinder the impossible with God. Whatever you may have attempted to do for God, and you may have tried before, and it did not seem to work, and you know it was a godly endeavor, you know in your heart the thing was right, and you don't understand why, well, don't give up on God. Because the impossible is not hindered by what has happened historically. Number two, human wisdom and expertise does not hinder the impossible with God. Human wisdom and expertise does not hinder the impossible with God. Because this woman, now, she gave up on her own self trying to heal herself. And so she went to the most knowledgeable and the wisest people she could find. She went to many physicians, the Bible says. She didn't just go to one. The Bible says in verse 26 that she suffered many things of many physicians. She didn't just get a first opinion. She got a second opinion. And honestly, when I perceive many, that's more than two. So she probably at least got a third, maybe a fourth. And me personally, when I think of many, that's more than three. Many is many. You know, that's a lot. You know, if I thought of going to many doctors, I'd probably think about the number of people we have here tonight. And so she went to all the people that had experience and expertise and looked to get her help for a situation, and not a one of them could seem to help her. You know, one thing I found out through the years is that in pastoring and trying to help people, that I really cannot personally help anybody. I can get them to Christ who can help them. But you know, I've talked to people that they've had godly desires, and they talked to this person, they saw counsel in that person, and no matter what they seemed to try, it never seemed to get them where they need to be until they met the Lord Jesus Christ and experienced Him, and then all of a sudden, that which was impossible in their life now became possible. So human expertise and wisdom does not hinder the impossible with God. Because in the world we live in today, just the first two things, it was over for her. It was done. Hey, 12 years, man, I'm just not getting over this. Talk to many doctors, hey, it's done. It may be a different situation, you know. I think of people that maybe have a burden to go to certain mission fields, and they were waiting and waiting, and God never seemed to open the door. I remember when I was in Bible college, there different missionaries, they're praying for Russia to open up, and while I was there, finally Russia opened up, and people had been praying for years to get into Russia and to preach the gospel, and their heart was there, and their hope was there, and they wanted to get there, and they never could seem to get there, but they got open the door, even though it seemed impossible. And so, number three, lack of resources does not hinder the impossible with God. Now, that probably hits most of us where we live, amen? Because we kind of have a way where we think that we need resources in this day and age we live in to get the will of God done. I was talking to one of the persons at church I was at on Sunday, and, you know, so often I said, even if everything, I was talking to Pastor Jamie. We were after the wedding, we were talking about the economy, and I said, the great thing is, if everything just goes completely sour and we lose absolutely everything, we can still preach Christ. God made it possible that where no matter what happens, that people can be reached with the gospel. Because you may not be able to go, you know, may not be able to go over to a foreign country anymore because of resources, but you will be going across the street, you'll be going to the grocery store. Well, might not be one if everything collapses, amen. People are going to try to grow every small piece of dirt. Somebody be trying to grow something all of a sudden. The lack of resources does not hinder the impossible with God. Can we see here in the text here that not only has she talked to many physicians, but she has spent all that she had. I was amazed, you know. The year I went to Bible college, I stayed in the town. I lived in Springfield, Missouri for 9 years, and so many people would graduate Bible college and they go out and either pastor for a little bit or attempt to start a church, and they always ended up, and they would several of them would come back to Bible college and spend more money looking to get, I guess, some more expertise. They feel, well, I just didn't feel like I was qualified. I just didn't feel like I was equipped. And so we'd come back, they would go get a master's degree and then get a PhD. And then some of them would never went back into the ministry, unfortunately. But they were spending time and resources trying to get something that would help them to be able to do the work of God. And after all that education, unfortunately, some of them came to the conclusion that it was hopeless. But that's not with God. They spent all the resources. Meaning, when a banker, I remember talking to a guy I worked with at Sheraton Hotel. He went to Assembly of God school there. He was interviewing for a job as an assistant pastor. He told him he had to have at least $40,000 a year so he could pay off his student loan debts, you know. And that was before he talked about praying over it. That was before talking about what the will of God was. It didn't matter, but they had to pay him at least $40,000 so he'd be able to function in the ministry, you know. And he spent all that he had, and what had happened, even if God wanted him there, he found himself in an impossible situation in his mind, but all he had to do was pray. You know, if God wanted him there, they could start off with nothing. I always remember what my pastor did when he took over our church. He told the church, and he said something similar to that. He said, well, I know God's calling me here. And I think they told him they could only afford to pay him like $100 a week or something like that. And he had a wife, and I think at least two children at that time. Maybe, I don't know how many he had at least two, I think. And he said, well, by faith, I want you to pay me $300 a week. And so what they would do is, and he would write out the checks for $300 a week. And the money wasn't there. And he would, as the money came in, and many times he says, you know, he would stay 3 weeks behind on his pay, 4 weeks, sometimes even a couple months. And he would just by faith, and little by little, God would give the increase because he knew God called him there, and they knew they couldn't afford to pay him what he needed. And that was just a bare minimum to take care of his family needs. But he went by faith, and all of a sudden, the impossible became possible because little by little, the checks would somehow catch up. They began to catch up. Began to get cash, and as they were taken care of, even when they weren't getting cash, God supplied his need through extra things. People would give things, supply things, all type of things. But the lack of resources did not hinder him from doing what God had called him to do. He, by faith, walked into an impossible situation because the church was heavily in debt, had a lot of problems, and God worked through all that as well. So we see here, and these first three are the most common things that we limit God, why we can't do what we think, why we can't do what God's called us to do. Historically, well, somebody else has tried it. It's failed. Well, we've talked to people, we've listened to human wisdom, reasoning. Everybody fears having young adults and their own teenagers. You know, but you know, some of the greatest blessings I had is our children and teenagers. Because I wasn't afraid of them. I love them. I love them when they were little. So why would I be afraid all of a sudden they're 13? Human wisdom said, oh man, it's so terrible. Man. No, it's great. You can do things with them as a teenager you can't do at any other age. And even though once they pass beyond that, you know, and praise God for that, all the different times. But human expertise and wisdom sometimes places in a category. Hey, human expertise and wisdom say that you guys made a bad decision. Why in the world would you get married when almost over 50% of people get divorced? Human instrumentation of reason said that was a bad decision. But they made the decision based on something other than human wisdom and expertise. They made it based by faith on what the Word of God says, and thank God for that. Now lastly, number four. Now this one may kind of scare you a little bit, but it's still true. So listen, but don't shut it out when you first hear it. Number four, scriptural evidence does not hinder the impossible with God. Scriptural evidence does not hinder the impossible with God. Or she said lack of scriptural evidence. I want you to think about this woman here for a second. Now, notice what it says in verse 28. Well, all this failure, and she'd heard of Jesus, for she said, let's catch it all, verse 27. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now, I've done worse searches. Now, somebody tell me, what verse did she use to know that if she touched his clothes, she could be made whole? What verse in the Bible says that, you know, Jesus is so powerful, you touch his clothes, I'll be healed? And the answer is there is no verse. Now, she may have just been silly enough to believe that when she heard the story, that when God introduced himself to Abraham, when he said, I am the Almighty God, she must took that for what it said, that God's Almighty, so he can do whatever he wants to do. But what I'm saying is, now I'm not advocating crazy things beyond Scripture. But what we see here is, again, a vision of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. There's something about him that if I just touch his clothes, she saw something in him, though she did not have a verse to cling on to. Though she did not, and actually at this point, there is not even a Bible precedent, there's no historical evidence that this could even happen. But because, again, she took God to be God. And this is really the key thing that kind of got me thinking about this passage. Where are the people that just take God to be God? You know, through our religion, we have become very legalistic, you know. And traditionally, a legalist is someone that says you have to follow and adhere to these rules to be considered spiritual or be considered holy, be considered just. But we've become so legalistic in that we've just put God in a box to where he's got to conform exactly the way by what we think we understand about him. Instead of taking, again, God said he can do all. Now, what we do know, if we ask something that's not God's will, he'll just say no. Was it James or John? They said, Lord, we want to sit on your right hand. And when I used that glory, he said, no, that's not mine to give. And they asked for it. God said, no, that's not mine to do. But at the same time, we see people like this in a situation that, man, wait a minute, historically, man, this is hopeless. Man, I talked to every person I can. I went to the physicians, spent everything I had, and man, I'm stuck. I'm hopeless. But you know what? There's this person, Jesus, walking around. I heard that he's God. And I just believe that since he's God, that, I mean, I remember in the Torah, it was talking about and how Moses, how he couldn't even see God. He just saw the back part of God. And his face shone. So if Moses' face shone, just was in the back part of God, if I touch something that God touched, since there's no infirmity in Christ at all, I think I'll be all right. And so she believed that. And though there wasn't something, just her vision and perspective of who God was caused her to go from a completely hopeless situation to a miracle that we read about today. Now, this is rather interesting. Hold your place here. We may come back. But in Matthew chapter 9, we see this. We see the same story here. But in Matthew chapter 9, notice what the Bible says in verse number 20. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 20. It says, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself. Now, thank God she didn't tell some independent Baptist what she was thinking, amen. And I'm all for independent Baptists, don't misunderstand. If she'd have walked up to me or to you and said, you know what, I think I'm going to touch the hem of Jesus' garment and I'm going to get whole. And Brother David, we've never seen that happen in one of our services before. That can be done, amen. But she said within herself. See, within herself, she had a vision of God, and by vision, I mean she saw God as the Almighty, the unchangeable, the the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And she said, he can do it. And so she said, I'll just touch him in the garden. And she's made whole. Now notice, now this, I thought this was good now. You know, now turn to Matthew chapter 14. Now see, this had an impact, this, on some people. Because notice now in Matthew chapter 14. And beginning verse 34. Matthew 14, 34. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Now the words got out because of what happened to her. And now everybody's bringing them from every place. And Lord, we don't have to talk to you. You don't have to say one word. We just need to get our people close enough to touch your garment. And they'll be in. They besought him. They said, they besought him that they might only touch him of his garment. And it happened. They made whole. They begged. They pleaded. And Lord, just let us touch the hem of your garment. And so in Matthew chapter 9, we see this woman said within herself, I think this will work. And all of a sudden, because of her faith, and just in the person of God, and the reality of what God said, being the Almighty, and God can do it, and just the power of himself, now other people are following and believing God for the impossible and walking in some of the same steps. And now what I'm saying is, don't leave here thinking I'm saying go look for some type of faith that's beyond the Bible. But you know what? When God says all, you might not find a verse that categorizes your all. But you are in a situation and you believe that God will be glorified if you ask him for something. Don't limit your faith in God by what you've seen in history. You know, I believe you can come to church and be happy about it, amen? And no matter what, I preached about over, I don't know, 250, 300 churches by now. And I've been in a lot of them that are just dead. And the people just have been waiting for the service to get over. I was preaching, and I said Sunday night, I've been preaching, I think, till like, we started at 5, and it's about 6:15. I said, oh, I forgot to ask, is this a one-hour church? Well, that's supposed to be done in 1 hour, you know. And it's okay. It's okay if that's what people want to do. There's a time and a place even for that. But I'm just saying that we can minimize, and we can think, you know what? The Christian life is just a miserable life. And we see it by what we see in some people, the name of Christ, we think, man, historically, I'm not sure I want to go there. I'm quite happy with being a child of God. I enjoy serving the Lord. And yes, there are difficult times, but I tell you, I wouldn't trade them for anything because they bring home to me the reality of a living Savior, amen, and a personal God. And thank God for every trial, every time of misery, every heartbreak, and every situation that I could see that God was sufficient. And so we want to gain a perspective of God so we don't limit God historically. And we want to gain a perspective of God. So even if someone that we respect, even as in the Christian faith, if it contradicts the reality of God, but God been real in you, be careful. But God created us to walk with him. You know, I was... Of course, you know the story of the Hebrew children in the fire furnace. And I said, one of the points that I talked about in that passage, you know, when we don't like to go through times of the fire, you know, difficulties. But that time in the fire, you know what that produced in the Hebrew children? It produced a life-changing fellowship with God that all could see. Think about that passage because, okay, they went into the fire. First of all, their bonds were removed. They bound them when they threw them in the fire. Their enemies were removed. The people that tried to persecute them, they died. And all of a sudden, in the midst of the fire, they're all of a sudden free. They're walking around, and they're not saying, we serve the mighty God anymore. Nebuchadnezzar is looking down in there. He said, how many did you put in there? did we not just throw three in there? But I see four men in there And the fourth one looks like the Son of God, likened to the Son of God. And so even Nebuchadnezzar said, wait a minute, those men that I thought were idiots for going against my commandment to bow down and worship my image, I see them free beyond what anything I said, he could have said, I'm the most powerful man on the earth at this time, humanly speaking. My commandment meant nothing to them. They're walking now free in the midst of the fire. And guess what? The fire didn't have any power on them. You know the story. And in some earthly situations. But here they are, visible. Everybody says they're walking with God. The king himself, looking down in the fiery furnace, and they're walking with God. Now, human wisdom would have said, you know, you really, it's the king you're talking to here. You ought to it's not that big of a deal. And here's a good, now think about this for a second. Now, anybody remember the story of Naaman, the leper? Remember Naaman when he was healed? What did he say to the prophet? He said, after he was healed, he said, would you please forgive me one thing, that when my master bows down, that I'm bowing down with him. Anybody remember that in that story? He believed in the God of Elijah, but he said, would you just forgive me? And in this case, my master bowed, and I'm kind of forced to bow down with him, you know. Now human wisdom would say, well, here's a story right here. Just go ahead and bow down. But not these men. It was different because something was in their heart. They had a vision. They had something in their God. And the Bible doesn't rebuke the other person, but I'm just saying there are certain things that are personal with your relationship with God that, man, you ought to just believe God and trust God no matter what anybody else is doing. And you'll be, and as long as it's based on reality of what the Bible defines as the person of God, and you'll see God exalted. Because these men, we can't even consider. They said, we cannot consider bowing down. And it worked out for the glory of God. They didn't have to attach the name Christian to themselves. They didn't have to tell anybody they were walking with God. This is kind of strange, man. Can you imagine that day? Probably not to have been there. Sitting there and throwing three men in there and all of a sudden everybody looked down in there. And see, there wasn't like time, there wasn't trick photography, anything like that in those days. They weren't watching on TV, somebody could fake anything. They're looking down in the fire, and there's four men walking around. And very clear, for some reason, that this is the Son of God in there with them. And imagine their joy and their delight to come out. But what we're trying to say is here, this woman, back in our text, and she didn't allow anything to limit her perspective of the Almighty God. Question I've been asking myself, and I've asked other people, what do you need God for? What do you need God for? But what good is God? If you're going to take care of all your bills, if you're going to take care of your career, if you're going to take care of your future, if you're going to take care of everything in your life, if you're going to take care of your health, if you're going to take care of your wealth, what in the world do you need God for? If you're going to take care of, I mean, really. And people are so weary, burned out, and all we can testify of is what we've done. I was thinking about the Olympics, you know, y'all know I like sports and everything, but I was thinking about how tragic it's going to be for some of those people. They labored all their life for a moment of gold, and they're going to have that gold, and that gold they have when they meet God is going to burn up like nothing. It's going to mean nothing before God. And they poured their whole life into it, and they were exhilarated by it. I mean, y'all hear me? I still talk about some sporting events myself that I get kind of excited about. Talking about different victories I had when I played sports. But you know what? You know what that's going to mean when I stand before God? It's going to mean absolutely nothing. And all that labor, all that energy. And I was thinking about that. You know, there's so many pictures in this world of faith that God really... I mean, you think about an Olympian. They train for years and years and years and years and years and years. Just to get a tryout, someone never even make it to get there, you know. But by faith, they believe they can do it. By faith, well, I'm using the word faith because we know it couldn't be faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But they have confidence that they're going to make it, Ricky. And they strive and they strive and they strive. They spend years and money and resources paying for physical trainers and all types of things and just to get there for one moment in hopes that they might get a victory. That they might get one. And you think about the years that they labor where there's absolutely no evidence that it's worth it. I mean, for 4 years, they labor and they train, they exercise, and have no guarantee or real evidence that they're sure they can win. What they think is worth it for an earthly goal. Now we've got the Word of God, and we've got the Holy Spirit of God that bear witness with us and say, man, you're going the right direction, just keep going. Holy Spirit orders our steps. As my brother said, thank God He watches over us. Amen. So don't limit yourself. Don't limit God. There's so many endless possibilities with God. You know what God is? You know that's what I'm really trying to say is the reason why God is so inactive in so many people's lives is because we just don't need Him. We just don't see God is being a part of that. May God give wisdom. God gives direction. God takes your health. God gives wealth. God, hey, remember he controls the rain. He always talk about the rain falling on the just and the unjust, and controlling the seasons. So he's talking about different things that control like the economy and living at that time. So that means God's in charge of our livelihood. I mean, God's almighty. Then he gets down and he can work on us. The fruit of the Spirit is love. You know why people aren't committed to anything? Look, lack of love. Love is what really, love is a commitment word, if you really think about it. Powerful commitment word. It comes by the Spirit. Joy. You know, some people pray the Christian life. Some people think, man, if I go to the cross, I'm not really going to get any joy out of that. I'm not going to get any joy out of that. I'm looking at people. I'm looking at examples. And you start looking at people historically, and you start putting God in a box by what you see in people. Instead of saying, you know what? He is almighty, unchangeable God, the King of kings, Lord of lords, for all eternity. And don't try to outthink God either, you know. I've learned for myself that sometimes I think I'm praying and I'm thinking, you know. And even if you're thinking about something, just pray about it. You know, if you ask God about something, just leave it alone, amen. You may not have resources. You may not have ability. You feel, well, you don't have the talents to do it. That don't matter with God. He wants to work the impossible with you. None of us are qualified to do anything except we'll be servants. You know what we're meant to be as a vessel? You think about that? If we be a willing vessel and let God fill us, then God can come out. But we never will miss out on opportunity if we miss out, we limit God. But I thank God that though for this woman here, she, by what you can see in the earth at that time, there's no reason that the impossible should have happened. And honestly, she could even take it to a biblical verse. But you know, that's what I like about reading the Old Testament, why I really like to read it. Because see, we have so many promise verses. No, we do. We look at them and read them, and what we say with our intellect, we cast doubt even when we read it and it says what it says, you know. Whereas they just had a vision. All they knew was God, and the prophet would show up every now and then, Say, no, you're not doing this right. You know? Hey, when a prophet showed up, they said, comest thou peaceably? But man, I tell you, it's exciting. The person of God is so exciting if you worship him as God. I mean, I would like to transfer tonight just within you that in your life, God can work the impossible. Whatever that means. Because your life is not my life, and I have different impossible things that I need from God that would bring him glory. And I don't want anybody to stand before God. And you could have had something tremendously wonderful that of lasting value, but you didn't have it because you didn't ask for it. We have not because we asked not. Because you limited what God could do based on what you saw, even historically, or what you heard by the human ear, or by your own personal resources. God really is almighty. You know, it'd be better to serve him as the almighty God and like just like James and John. I mean, God told them they couldn't sit on the right hand, but hey, why not ask? Why not ask, you know? They still got to be with Jesus. And I'm not saying you go ask God a lot of crazy things, but here's the situation here. I don't even know. Jesus knows that if I touch him, I shall be made whole. And if everybody in this room would just have that vision of their life, if I just touch Christ, no matter where I'm at, I'll be whole. Wherever my emptiness is, if I just touch Christ, I'll be made whole. And you know what happened? It may just rub off on some other people. Just like we saw in Matthew 14. Hey, word got out. Hey, somebody touched him. God's no respecter of persons. Hey, this woman touched him in the hole, so now he's coming there. Now they're begging God. Just let us get to your garment. Amen. Thank God for that. Father, we thank you tonight for the word of God. This is, I'd like to say something so unique that would make, basically, just simply, Lord, cause your people to trust you for absolutely everything. That's really my only desire tonight. And that they would never miss out on anything that you have for their life because they thought you just couldn't do it. Lord, I pray that you would rescue Christianity, Lord. Father, so much is done in the flesh. And that's why so many are tired and weary. You said in the word, not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith the Lord God of hosts. Could you raise up within this room an army of spirit-led people, believing that you can do the impossible? Lord, I thank you for the many miracles you've done in my life. I thank you even for the thought.